Good morning once again. Did you see that beautiful building in the video clip? That is the Tuolmash, we call it castle. For y'all, it would be like a mansion, the big Andrássy mansion. Let me just tell you about that building. That building was built in between 1894 and 1914 by a very wealthy Hungarian family, one of the nobles of the country, and served as a summer mansion, okay? The beautiful mansion, and there's a beautiful park, about 78 acres, rare trees and plants, about 110 servants. And after the Second World War, that building became the possession of the Hungarian state / Communist Party, and they used it as a youth camp. It was a youth camp of indoctrination when we were trying to convince children that communism is indeed true and something that is worth following. Now, the building during those many years of communism was kind of running down, particularly on the inside. So when in 1990, Word of Life got a lease, our major concern was how to use this building. And slowly we started changing not so much things in the outside, but so many, many things in the inside. We changed the floors. We changed all the electric wires. That's a major work. Water pipes. Heating. And we made new offices and guest rooms. Many of you will enjoy those guest rooms in this summer. And so the building in the outside looks pretty much the same, but the inside is new. Now, in this beautiful building, you think there's always joy and laughter, but it's not so. Sometimes, when students fall in love, it happens that a young man tells a young lady in that beautiful building in the inside that, I don't love you anymore, okay? And there is crying. And sometimes people work in the kitchen, our chefs, our cooks, wonderful Christians, yet they disagree. And there may even be some yelling. And sometimes in that beautiful building that is so wonderful, there is anger. And there is talk that is from the flesh. And there is fear and anxiety in a building that is brand new in the inside, and it's kind of aging in the outside, you find sin. Now, the reason for this metaphor is that this building is you and I. Isn't that interesting? That we embrace the gospel. We embrace that Christ died for our sins. We embrace that He paid what I was supposed to pay. We embraced that He rose from the grave and gave us new life. And He made us new. He gave us a new sensitivity. He gave us His Spirit. We are new in the inside, right? We are a new creation. We can obey the Word of God. We do want to follow the leading of the Spirit. And yet at the same time, we are struggling with sin. This is what this passage is all about. How is it that I'm new by the Spirit? Yes, just like the Tuolmash castle, I'm aging in the outside. Yes, my hair is getting gray. Well, at least I have hair, okay? And I really need to watch out what I'm eating, so I want to fit in my suit. And diabetes and sickness. So in the outside, it's aging, yes. But in the inside, it's new. Yet there is sin, and there is struggle. And as Stan Eric was reading this beautiful passage, it was like holding a mirror. Yes, it was about me. Yes, at one moment I'm producing the fruit of the Spirit. At the other time, there is sin in me. How is it? What is this tension? What is the solution? In other words, how to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, if we are new by the Spirit, how to walk by the Spirit, how to keep in step with the Spirit, or as the Hungarian says, I love it, we live by the Spirit, that's the one-time action, and then daily, step by step, we live by the Spirit. How is it possible? What is the solution? That's the dilemma. And just as the good gospel is good news from the past, we talked about it last week, that yes, we are declared just and right, we are new, our sins are paid for, our eternal life is secure. The gospel is good news for the present, the great news for the present. It's possible to walk by the Spirit. It is possible to walk by the Spirit. But how? But how? You know, the Galatians, The Galatians thought you have to keep external rules and the law. That was the great dilemma of the first century. In the first century, many believers thought that we should still keep the law. The right way to God is to keep the Old Testament law, to become a Jew first, and then believe in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to do externals. We need to change from the external, and then we can follow Christ. And Paul, in no uncertain terms, says that, no, there is freedom in Christ. You are new by Christ. Live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Let this inner transformation change you. Do not try to keep external rules. But how? When I'm thinking about creation, God created man in his own image. So when I'm thinking about the first man, Adam, before the fall, Adam was full of love and full of joy and full of peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. His body and soul, it was perfect, and he had freedom. Yet when the first two people sinned, they lost it all. And all these ugly things we just read about, the sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and we could go on and on and on. Sin, it just popped up. And it has ever been present. Our entire being is soaked with it. As one author says, our flesh is sinful, the mind, the will, and the emotions, as well as the physical body. It's soaked with sin. It's like washing the dishes, okay? So this may be new territory for some of you guys, okay? You know, you take that sponge and put it in that water and put a few drops of dishwasher soda on it and push it a few times and foam comes out, right? And it's saturated with that cleaning material. And so then you take that plate, again, lesson for guys and me, clean it, and it's clean. But if you take that sponge and put it in wastewater, okay, and push it a few times and take it in your kitchen, I mean, make sure your wife doesn't see it, okay? But if you try to wash the dishes with that and you push it, what comes out? Something stinky and smelly, dirty. That's how our entire being is saturated with sin. Body, flesh, emotions, decisions, everything. That's how we are born. Yet in that sinful, dirty, smelly reality, dying reality, God creates something new in the inside. See, the tension, that causes the tension. Because at the moment we believe, we are not just being declared righteous. It's not just God says, okay, my son died for you and rose from the grave. Your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life. That's the external. A great internal change starts. Something that was dead starts living again. You know, we live by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. We are apart from those who are spiritually dead. We are spiritually alive. We are alive. And because we are alive, we are able to produce fruit. We are able to produce fruit. But that goes against the wishes and the intentions of that sinful body that fruit is being produced. There's a great tension. There's a great tension. You cannot fix yourself. God fixes you from the inside. And that fix is going up in a body that is saturated with sin. See the tension? Experience the tension? Suppose you were late for church and you had anger. That's the tension. Suppose you said something to your spouse that you regretted immediately. That's the tension. Suppose your soul is full of anxiousness and fear. That's the tension. Suppose you made some decisions you regret, that's the tension. I'm talking about my everyday life. I'm talking about your everyday life. That's the tension. That's what you and I experience. There is this aging body. There's this sinful body that is new in the inside, and there is a tension. And this passage is a fix for that. This passage is a fix for that because you can produce fruit. The method of the Galatians was sort of like producing plastic fruit. We have some friends and they have very nice plastic fruit. And I first went to their house, I almost ate it, okay? And that came to surprise. It was plastic. But and they look exactly like the real fruit. But you know, if you take a real apple and take a bite, that's refreshing. If you take a plastic apple and you take a bite, you may go to a visit for your dentist, all right? So that's a big difference. That's a big difference. But you can produce real fruit, but your body doesn't want it. How can I overcome? How can I begin this new reality? How can you let the Spirit fix you? You know, it's like a heart transplant. I'm not sure if there's anybody with a heart transplant in this congregation, but that's one of the great inventions of modern technology. There is a person, and this person is dying. He may have weeks, months left. And the machine keeps that person alive. And finally, they find the right donor, and they find the right heart, and they make a heart transplant. And that heart starts pumping. But guess what the body does? There's a strong immune reaction. So someone who has a heart transplant has to take medication the rest of his life, rest of her life. I just read an interview with the first Hungarian heart transplanted person back from the 80s. He's still alive, he's still happy, but he's still taking medication because his body is still fighting against that new heart. That's what we are. We have a new heart, but our body is fighting against it. So what is the remedy? What is the medication? How can you fix it? How can I obey? How can I grow in my sanctification? Well, there is no human fix. But there's a couple of fixes, and that's why the gospel is great news for today that we can all apply. And I chose three simple terms. Sorry for showing this. This is the Hungarian free, okay? So American, let me translate, American free, okay? So, Emma, so this is Hungarian free, okay? Get it? All right? So, it's so strange for me, really. Can I do my Hungarian free, okay? All right. So there's three fixes, friends, three fixes. And they are so easy to say, but they're so difficult to practice. Let me teach you the three fixes, all right? The first is this, please teach me. Let me repeat, isn't that simple? Please teach me. Holy Spirit, please teach me. Holy Spirit, please teach me from your scripture. Saturate my life with your truth. You know, going back to the dishwasher, if you saturate with light with dirt, when you press it, dirt comes out. I'm telling young people, if they get all the information from Facebook and Google and the internet, when there is tension and stress, that's going to come out. If you saturate your mind, your thinking with the Word of God, when there is tension, pressure, that comes out. Holy Spirit, please teach me. Make sure that you read, you memorize, you meditate over, you listen to, you embrace, you eat the Word of God. Amen. Holy Spirit, please teach me. Please teach me. Brothers and sisters, please teach me. Elders, pastors of the church, please teach me. Honey, please teach me. My children, please teach me. Tell me what the Bible says. Please teach me. Saturate me with your truth. Again, it's easy to say. But this is the first way how the Spirit is going to transform you, if you fill your life with the truth of God. And if you do that, if there is a tenseful moment, if some big stress in your life, then you will remember the truth of God, and that's how you're going to respond. That's how you're going to talk and think and relate and decide and act. And the second one is so closely related. Please forgive me. So the first one was, please teach me. The second one is, please forgive me. Please forgive me. God, please forgive me. Because of what I thought. Because of what I said. Because of how I related. Guys, because the face you made, okay, because that matters. The decisions I made, the anger I harbor, the images I look at, the gossip I pass on, the political opinion that I voiced, which was not nice. Yes, you can have your opinion, no problem with that, but how you say it, it matters. God, please forgive me. That was not pleasing you. Honey, please forgive me. What I said, what I did, how I responded, how I was impatient was not right. My children, please forgive me. My church, please forgive me. My colleagues, please forgive me. That's the second one. The first one, please teach me. The second one, Holy Spirit, please help me to say, forgive me. See, the gospel is great news for today because these things do happen. Yes, it's so hard to say I'm sorry, particularly to your children, grandchildren, or your spouse, or your colleague. Pride is all over us, but please understand that's the old nature. And you know, when you obey, the Holy Spirit is kind of fixing up one more room in your building, making you better and better. Please teach me. Please forgive me. And there's a third one. There's a third one. Please help me. Please help me. One of the great, sorry for this bad word, curses of the Western society is individualism. We talk about me, and perhaps me and God, and we forget about the beautiful community we are part of. But please understand, our belief, our Christianity, our relationship with God is in the community. Brother and sister, please help me. There's nothing wrong to say to someone who is in the same body of Christ, please help me. I'm struggling with this. You don't have to do it by yourself. You have a spouse. You have friends. You have brothers and sisters. You belong to a care group, to a adult Bible fellowship, to this church. We are here to help. You know, if you struggle with something, this is not something, boy, I'm so ashamed, I'm struggling. No, this is an opportunity to share, an opportunity for the body to step in and help. Yes, we struggle. Yes, there is an inner tension. But yes, we can always say, please help me. We don't have to be that individualistic. We can enjoy the community. We can enjoy the body. Holy Spirit, please change me so that I can say, please help me, because I cannot do it by myself. You don't have to. You don't have to. Please teach me. Please forgive me. Please help me. As I was preparing for this message, I was looking for an illustration to finish. And I found a very interesting video on the British Channel 4. I really don't know how to say it in British way, Channel 4 or something like that. But that's a TV channel. And they were doing a very special show about a lady who at the age of 18 got in a car accident and got paralyzed from the chest down. Though she was paralyzed, she became a TV commentator, and she's working for this Channel 4, and it was pretty much her story. And in this story, she introduced a new device. That's a New Zealander device that is just being sold in Great Britain, and it's like a new robotic leg. What you need to imagine is this. There is this new robotic leg, and there is great improvement in that field, and they take the leg, and they strap this lady into this new set of robotic legs. It goes from the bottom all the way to the chest. They strap her in, and then she's using this little computer screen and some joysticks. And after 10 years, she was able to walk again. I mean, the TV crew was showing her face, and it was radiating. She could hug her boyfriend. She could fix a meal. She could just walk, and she was surprised and stunned and just smiling and laughing out loud because now she could walk. The bad part of the story is that the price of such an artificial robot is $200,000. Wow, yeah. Now, a dead person cannot walk. Those who are spiritually dead, they cannot walk. but you can. And you do not need an artificial device to obey God, just as the Galatians said that it comes from the external. No, 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 no. You are being made alive from the inside. You can walk because of the endless power of the Holy Spirit. When that robotic device, when the power runs off, you know, it just stops. The Holy Spirit never stops. It can energize your walk. And as you walk more, you find yourself enjoying more and walking and running by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is one bad news. The price. The price was very high. Blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he paid it all. It doesn't cost you a penny. So live and walk. Be energized. Learn to say, Spirit, teach me. Learn to say, please forgive me. Learn to say, please help me. And you will be more and more like him. And yes, the external kind of goes down. But we'll talk about the fix next week. But the internal gets more and more beautiful as you walk by the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. And we thank you that the gospel is great news for today. We are alive and we can walk by the gospel. And we want to say humble and teachable. We want to say, I'm sorry. We want to say, please teach me. We want to say, help me. And as you teach us how to walk more stable, we want to help our brothers and sisters to have to enjoy the same walk. And yes, the external kind of goes down, but the internal gets nicer and nicer as it gets saturated by the truth. And thank you that we have an unfading hope for the future, because the gospel is good news for the future. It's going to be a resurrection. We praise you, Spirit, that you produce your fruit in our lives. And we need your help to walk in the truth every day. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.